Hello, and thank you for choosing this Analyst Insight podcast from the Information Security Forum. Hello to everyone who has become a regular listener. We must be doing something right, given how the audience is growing. And speaking of talking, this episode is all about social media, those places and platforms we all use to keep in touch and up to date. We're going to explore the present and future of those networks. What are they doing to us and what might happen next? My name is Mark Ward. I'm a senior research analyst at the ISF, and I do not use social media much at all. A tiny bit of Twitter in the past, a little bit of LinkedIn now, a bit of doom scrolling here and there. I'm an outlier in that respect, even though I know it's cut me off from experiences and people I probably get along quite well with. And though, as we said, even though I've not used it much, I have written about it a lot. And I've seen it go from cool toy and neat innovation to troubling behemoth. I've seen all kinds of services come and go: IRC, AOL, CompuServe, MySpace, Dig, Bebo, many, many others, I bet. The other people on this podcast have heard of hardly any of those, I suspect. But thankfully, this episode is not relying on me to talk about social media, because it'd be really short and really dull. But we have gathered some folks who know much more about it, who grow up with it, and who, I'd imagine, use it on a daily basis. We shall soon find out. First introductions are for our research interns who have been helping us over the summer. That's Scott Binning and Aisha Syed. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Mark.
Good to have you. Quick question. What social media services do you use on a daily basis?
So my main social media platforms I use would probably be Twitter and Instagram.
Twitter. Okay.
Yeah, that would be my number one by far. That's about 80% of my social media use. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay, why Twitter? Is that a particular...
Mostly keeping up with sort of current affairs and mostly sports. So football, cricket, tennis, all of those accounts are massive on Twitter.
Right, still. All right, because I thought Twitter was kind of waning in influence. So yeah, interesting. Thank you for that. And hello, Aisha.
Hi, Mark.
Good to have you here. Same question to you. What do you use on a daily basis?
For me, it's Instagram and WhatsApp. YouTube sometimes, but mostly Instagram. I am a very big Instagram fan.
All right. Okay. You mentioned YouTube. Is that counted as a social network? Because to be honest, I use a bit of that. So, well, watch quite a few videos.
Yeah. For some way, yeah. But then if we talk about social media, then WhatsApp and Instagram.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, in particular. Yeah, I think my kids, my boys were just coming up to 20. They use, yeah, Instagram is big for them. And also here to give a slightly different perspective is Arunashi Singh from the services team at the ISF.
Hey, Mark.
Good to have you here. Same question to you. What do you use on a daily basis?
I'm actually currently on a detox. So for the last couple of weeks, I haven't been using as much. It's harder than you think. But up until that point, it was Instagram and Twitter. Twitter less so, especially with the whole Elon Musk situation. And at one point, especially with the pandemic, it was TikTok. And then it just got to a point where I had to quit. The amount of hours you can get on there, and then you get your weekly screen time summary.
Do you? Oh, right. Wow. Gosh. So, and that was, do you, Scott, Aisha, have you ever had that thought, oh, I need to dial this back a bit?
I've had a few detoxes in the past.
Yeah.
Really?
But then again, it comes back.
Yeah, it does.
It pulls you back in.
Yeah, it pulls you back.
Really?
Wow. I had detoxed myself from WhatsApp, but then Instagram, it just doesn't go.
No. You feel so disconnected, especially if you've got friends or family.
Yeah, if you live away from your country, and that's the only possible way to connect with your friends and family.
Right. Okay.
Coming out of the pandemic, the lockdowns were the biggest reason why social media usage increased. Just had nothing to do. It was just every day. It was just scrolling.
Yep. Yeah. That's when I did a lot of doom scrolling. Definitely. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. But that's interesting that you've all had to, so is it a case of you can't live your lives without this? I mean, Aisha, you mentioned, sort of connecting with friends and family. Arunashi, I mean, you're both expats, I guess, in some respect.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I think you feel so disconnected. And I think it's not even that you're constantly messaging people on these platforms, but even seeing what they're up to or the kind of more casual interactions you're able to have. Like, for example, on Instagram, you reply to a story, you comment on a post or whatever. That is way less investment, but you're still able to kind of continue a relationship with someone in a way where it feels a lot heavier to do on WhatsApp, where you're reaching out, you're having a full text conversation, or you're calling them, and when you've got so much going on, it feels a lot easier to be able to keep up with more people kind of in a meaningful way through Instagram or you know, sending them videos, whatever that may be.
All right. And the types of people you connect with on these things, are they different? I don't know, Aisha, Instagram, is that your where your family sort of?
No, for my family, it's WhatsApp. My family doesn't use anything apart from WhatsApp, especially my mom, dad. My brother does use, but my mom, dad, nothing apart from WhatsApp. So it's either video call or the voice call that I do.
Right.
But Instagram, for me, it's like you're getting to know your friends are getting married or they're getting into a new company. So it's from the Instagram that I do. Or probably sometimes LinkedIn, which I have started recently.
Yep.
Getting onto LinkedIn and interacting with people.
Okay. And how about you, Scott? I mean, is that sort of because of the people you connect with, what they use, that's what determines?
Yeah, I guess so. Kind of growing up through school, it was kind of whatever your friends adopted right. first was, that's where I ended up.
Right.
Which happens to be Instagram, because I think especially really? When I was coming through school, it was sort of the up and coming social media platform.
Right. Scott and Aisha did some great work for us on social media networks and just how they're growing and things. And yeah, Facebook or Meta is definitely the 800 pound gorilla, isn't it? Because it's almost 3 billion on Facebook, Instagram, 2 billion, and then WhatsApp, 2.7 billion. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's human life right there, isn't it? Quick confession. I recently joined WhatsApp about 2 weeks ago. For the purposes of the recording, they are all looking really shocked at this. I just did not engage with that at all. And to be honest, ever since I have, it's been a real pain. Ping, ping, ping. I'm like a dog on a short lead. Just keeps dragging me back to my phone. Oh, I don't have to worry about that. And do you find that? Is that the problem? Just you constantly get called?
Yeah.
That's how you get addicted.
Yeah, it is. For me, there's this thing that I don't know, I have this inside me that I don't want any of my notifications to be not seen. So as soon as I get a notification, I have to go there and do. It's my mental thing that happens. And it has happened because of social media.
Right.
That if there's a new notification, I either just shut it off or I have to go and see.
Right.
It triggers me.
Yes. Well, I think, having played quite a few video games, some games I have to get all the coins or all the whatevers. Can't leave things.
Yeah.
Clear it up. So yeah. I think I recognize that need to do those kinds of things. But I just wondered, can you conceive of a life without this at all? Because I just thinking, because I remember when I was a teenager, I spent a year between A-levels and university. And I think at one point I went a month without calling my mum. And I was in Israel as well, so I wasn't just down the road. But I guess that for you guys, that's utterly inconceivable.
If everyone stopped using it, yeah, maybe.
But right.
Yeah. As long as people are on those platforms, I can't see myself ever not using them.
Yeah.
No.
And you're also out of the loop with things like, you know, just culture and, you know, things that you end up having conversations about. It's hard to avoid. And then also, I think from like a neuroscience perspective, our brains are very quickly becoming trained on the quick hits of dopamine that you're getting from notifications, from how these apps are structured to get you hooked anyway. You know, there's a lot of science that's going into these things and it's hard to escape.
Yeah, because I think TikTok is very good at that. And again, there's some of the stats that were gathered. So 93 minutes on average per day on TikTok, which is like, that's massive, man. What the? It's an hour and a half.
And I don't even need to be on TikTok to be affected by it. I've got people sending me videos constantly.
All right.
And not being on social media, I think these days it would be fear of missing out on things that our friends are doing or any of our favorite celebrities are doing. So it's fear of missing out most of the time.
And is there a sort of, if someone wasn't posting or responding to things, is there a sort of, how quickly would you say, are you okay? Because things aren't happening. Is it sort of a heartbeat type thing as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like that, I think.
Yeah, that's interesting. But as well, a final question on this sort of brief roundup. Do you judge people by the social media they use? Are there particular things that people use and go, oh my God, that's such a red flag? I don't know, Discord, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know. Or
I think to an extent, yeah. I mean, some of the more niche ones, like, I don't know about the rest of you, but I find that like if someone is a big Reddit person or, you know, some of those spaces, that it does feel a little bit, you know, questionable. Like if you use a more mainstream ones, not necessarily. But I think rather than the app, I find that my friends and I will think more about your presence on there and You know, I've got friends who will, when you first meet someone, they'll ask for Instagram instead of WhatsApp because you're trying, it gives you a better gauge at the outset of what they might be like. And it's not necessarily accurate. It's not something that works all the time. I'm not saying it's like the best way to go about it, but it's definitely something that happens a lot.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, giving out an Instagram account is less kind of, it's less impactful than giving someone a phone number straight away.
Yeah.
It feels like less of a commitment to a relationship or conversation.
Okay. That, yeah, sort of that first stage. Yeah, I'm not sure what the equivalent in my day was, but shaking their hand, perhaps. I don't know.
I'll take your fax number.
Everybody had their own. No, not everybody had their own. I didn't have a fax number. I still don't. But that's interesting. Kind of, it's interesting the way that you characterize it in different things. I mean, obviously, I would imagine that you, if you were dating someone, that's the way you check them out. Another question then on that, if they weren't on social media at all, would that be a complete red flag? Would you be really suspicious? What are they hiding?
It becomes suspicious though, but then again, it's their choice of not being on social media.
Okay.
But then again, it becomes a bit suspicious.
Yeah.
That, they're not social. How can they interact with us?
They're not social.
It comes with that.
Not to judge them.
Yeah. Or It runs in your mind.
Okay.
That's how it works.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. Okay. On the flip side, sometimes it's actually like, because of how novel it is, it can actually be kind of cool. You know, if someone either A, has social media presence, but it's limited, not very updated, then it's kind of like, okay, they're really living in the moment. They're not, you know, online. But then also if they have nothing at all and no digital footprint, that's where it gets a little bit suspicious as well. I don't know. It really depends, and I couldn't tell you in what situation one is more prevalent than the other when it comes to what your person is.
Right. Okay. Yeah, but that's interesting because I think a lot of people do identify more with who they are online than in real life in some cases, and I guess that's the suspicion, isn't it? Sort of, well, who are they online then? Or there is, doubtless there is that they are leaving an impression somewhere, but you just don't see it. Interesting. Yeah, difficult stuff. I'm fascinated because I'd like to say this is not very much a closed world to me, having not really grown up with it. But I guess for all three of you, this has always been there. It's just, you know, right from the start, pretty much. Although you did say, Scott, at school, some things were starting to blow up a bit.
Yeah, it was, as long as I've had a phone, like a smartphone, social media's been pretty big, pretty massive, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then same for me, but started with Facebook. And then Instagram around the same time. I couldn't tell you exactly when it came into play, but that was a thing. I think it was, Tumblr was briefly a thing. And then, but that was interesting as well, because that was interacting with a lot more strangers and people you knew, which I didn't do a load of, but I had friends who could have engaged with it more. And then Snapchat was big as well. Whereas now that's quickly died down, and if someone wants to communicate with you, mostly and only through Snapchat. Well, you know,
that's a bit odd.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. But there must be divides in terms of age as well, because I would have thought, with the impression I get, is that older people call Facebook as was, and younger people are Instagram. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's just not. Yeah. I mean, even now, like, I still have Facebook. I haven't gotten rid of it. But I only have the Messenger app. And that's only because WhatsApp might change. I might not have someone that I've known for a long time. Maybe they're Instagram. So it's a good way to from way back when. But I'm definitely not like scrolling through my feed. And I can't imagine Scott, Aisha, either of you on, you know?
No. I am not on Facebook.
Yeah. That's interesting. But are there any sort of new up and coming social network?
I think Be Real in the last 2 years was probably the closest thing to an up and coming social media.
Yeah. Right. And that's been good because during the whole thing of, you know, like Instagram is so curated and Be Real tries to do this thing where like every day at different points you get 2 minutes to take, you know, post something, but it takes a photo both of your front camera and your back camera. And the idea is, again, Scott, actually, tell me how you've been dealing with it. Because for me, I only have people that I'm close to on there. Like, I'd say, 25 to 30. I don't want to have loads of people on Be Real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it doesn't feel like something that you add everybody on, right?
No, it's definitely for close, kind of your close circle, because the idea of it is just is to be real, where it's yeah. just what you're doing at any point in that day.
I think Instagram's close friends things are also the same thing, like adding your stories to close friends, so that only the people you trust, not just the people you follow, but the people you trust the most knows what's going on in your life.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. Good. But I suppose I should ask a question about how skeptical or cynical you are about it, because I guess amongst your friends, you know what's being posted is pretty accurate. But beyond that, so you mentioned celebrities, is there a sense of you're not really getting the truth? You're getting, for a lot of them, they'll be mediated via, I don't know, the teams that work with those celebrities and people like that.
Yeah, I think so. It happens because we don't really know what's going on in their real life.
Right.
What they know, what they are doing, and what they are showing are two different things. So it becomes skeptical to trust these people. But there are a few influencers who we've followed from the very start, so we know that how they are.
Okay.
I think with influencers, it's like Aisha, you were saying, like, you know, there's some people, if you've known for a while, then I think you engage. But increasingly, I think there is this understanding of the fact that online profiles are really curated. They do only show you as part of someone's life. And I find that, like, if there's someone outside my friend's circle whose content I'm engaging with, they tend to be people who are cognizant of that and will talk about it in their content. You know, someone who's not pretending that they're online and 100% real, but rather saying that, listen, I've got my boundaries. There's things that I'm not going to show you, and I'm here to show you only X, Y, Z. That feels a lot more believable than someone who's otherwise.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of make-believe on some of those, certainly Instagram, I'd imagine as well. Yeah, there's a lot of and filtering and things like that. Yeah,
especially with commercialization and paid advertising, influencer-based marketing, which is increasingly a thing on TikTok as well, right? Remember reading your guys' research, Scott and Aisha, so you probably speak more to that, but that was really interesting as well.
Yeah, yeah, I think that when all the networks do different things for people, don't they, I suppose, and it's sort of, and I suppose as well, there's a lot of sunk cost in signing up for something because you don't want to have to move everything across. I mean, that's not easy to do. And yeah, once you're there, you kind of stay there, I guess.
Definitely hard to quit once you've joined.
All right. Well,
I think I would never quit Instagram.
Gosh, that's amazing. Your experience is so at odds with mine because but it has to be said, you know, my hour and a half I get back by not using TikTok on a daily basis. I don't know that I'm particularly productive, but would it be better to be scrolling TikTok? I'm not sure. But I do different things, I guess, have different responsibilities. But to Scott and Aisha, just to talk briefly about sort of the scenarios you came up with, just top of your heads, you know, what were a couple of big things you think are going to change the next few years with social media? Is it going to get worse in the sense of there's going to be much more of that commercialization, much more of that filtering, much more AI type stuff? Or is it, you see the regulation swinging back and lots of governments saying, you know, slapping wrists and saying, step back and leave people alone?
AI and VR are going to change a lot of stuff. Like virtual assistants are coming up, people going digital while shopping. So I think there's a lot of change that's happening on the social media, with small businesses booming because of advertising. I don't think that has happened before COVID. So after COVID, these small businesses have gotten a very big recognition with the help of social media.
Okay.
So I think that's going to be a big change. Then AI is coming up. Then we have virtual assistants coming up, virtual avatars coming. With metaverse changing, I think social media is going to be something which would be a common point of interaction with respect to metaverse.
Yeah, because I guess that's definitely one of those things, isn't it? It's less about what's online, but it's intruding in the real world as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I guess it does for you already. I guess I genuinely don't know, do these things ping you if your friends are close by and stuff like that? Or if there's, you know, particular people you follow close by? I don't know, if you, in the real world, when you're wandering around, just what happens?
It can do. I mean, I remember, I still have Snapchat installed. I don't really use it anymore, but they have Snap Maps on there where you can kind of see the locations of your friends. And I got a notification the other day saying that one of my mates had landed at Heathrow Airport. So it was like,
where the hell are they? Where are they going? Wow.
But then on like Instagram stories, you can see really easily where people are. And I've had it happen often where, you know, if you happen to check it while you're out and about and you end up coming across it, like someone's, you know, down the street from where you are at a different restaurant, pub, park, whatever. And then you end up spending the rest of the day with them because you didn't expect them, but then you've ended up having this chance encounter.
Yeah, well, I guess that's good. That happened, you know, sort of occasionally, because I used to go to the same pubs as my mates, and if I bumped into them, then who knows what would happen. But it was, it was very much accidental and nothing more than that. Getting towards the closing end of things then. So are social media, is social media a good thing, a bad thing? Quite hard to judge, I suppose. But yeah, Scott, starting with you. Good thing, bad thing? That was a big sigh you just did.
It's somewhere in between. I think it's a good thing in that the connections that you can make with people, the kind of exposure for new businesses and the way they can... I feel like the only way to grow now is with social media to some extent. Mm-hmm. But I think there's definitely a fine line between kind of what we spoke about earlier in this, which was it's how easy it is to get addicted. That kind of content that you're consuming, is how much of that is actually useful for you to be... Mm-hmm. For your brain to be kind of processing for hours on a day. Okay. I feel like that could, in the long term, is definitely something to be concerned about.
Okay, yeah. Aisha, good thing, bad thing? Can you persuade me to join in more? Should I join in more?
I think it's if it is regulated properly and if it is, handled properly, I think social media is going to be a good thing in the future. But there should be concerns and data security concerns that could come up. But then if handled properly, I think social media is going to be a good thing. Because I think people are going to be more digital in the future than they are now.
That's
so
true.
Connecting with them on social media could be a better thing.
Yeah, people are not going to use the internet less in the future, are they? I mean, that's definitely, we're pretty sure. I suppose what frightens me a bit is just the power they have. There's so many people. And then you obviously get influencers Mr. Beast, KSI, Andrew Tate, and those audiences are what they're up to, what they think is troubling, I think. Aaron Oshie, am I missing out big style? Yeah,
I don't know. I don't think so. I think ultimately the potential, not that I think there's radicalization that you'd have to worry about, I think definitely the potential for radicalization, the lack of regulation, and just the kind of impact that it has on the individual is just a bit terrifying. I mean, the fact that a lot of these big, tech professionals don't actually allow their kids to go on any type of device,
sure,
let alone social media, until a way older age, you know, that's a huge red flag. And then the other part of it is also, I think, the connection part of it is ultimately great, and that's not something I can live without, and I'm not going to be able to quit anytime soon unless something radically changes. It's not built for purpose. Ultimately, these are businesses, and their goal is profit, and that is done by people spending more time and more people spending that time on these apps, right? So as long as it's commercial in that way, connection is a byproduct of what they're doing, but I don't think it's going to be their ultimate goal. So it just, I don't know, it just feels kind of dirty. Like, so I wouldn't really recommend.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel slightly better about the fact that I don't use it now. But this has been absolutely fascinating. Many thanks, huge thanks for being so candid about your use of it. Many thanks, everybody. And thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Why should you have all the fun? You can now find ISR podcasts on all major podcast platforms. Look for our page on Audioboom, where you can subscribe to make sure you don't miss an episode. And who would want to do that? The podcasts are also available at securityforum.org, where you can also learn more about ISR research, tools, and guidance.